The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you to Friday afternoon. We appreciate you being here, and we're here for the next 4 hours. I realize a lot of you are bouncing around other sporting events, but if you want to just park your feet in front of the TV or plug on the radio a little bit higher, we appreciate it and really look forward to the next couple of hours. And we will include your phone calls beginning in just a moment. So if you want to get in, 855-242-7285. Certainly the Masters going on today, and it is midway through the second round. We'll update you as we move throughout the afternoon if anything significant occurs. It looks like there could run into some weather problems in about 2 hours, and if that happens, they'll finish the second round tomorrow morning. But other than that, pretty quiet day in the sports world, not so quiet elsewhere. But let's begin with a couple of reflections, not so much on today's news, which is pretty light, but the weekend review. And we had Mike Oresko on. I really want some thoughts on this. What Mike Oresko said about expanding the playoff.
There will be discussions coming up in a few weeks at the CFP meetings, and those are virtual this year. I think the discussions will probably be more detailed in June. I can't provide too much more information than that. Do I think that some proposals will be made regarding an expanded playoff? Yes. And do I think that down the road it could well happen? Yes. Like the NCAA tournament, though, if you did have a path through your conference, at least there's access for, schools, for instance, in our conference that wouldn't necessarily have access. And it also broadens the playoff to include, the entire country. And you made a good point. This Final Four had some new teams, and there's something to be said for that. Has the playoff gotten a bit stale with the same teams over and over?
And that was interesting because he has a seat at the table. Yesterday we got some reaction to that. Pete Futak joined us from College Football News.
It would be fun if, as we're talking here on, what is it, April 9th, that we didn't already know that 75 teams are already out of the college football playoff contention. It's not fun. You got to have some sort of carrot at the end of the stick. And my continued argument is I don't know why we can't have like a smorgasbord Saturday where the week right after the conference championships, we have eight teams, all the Power Five conference champions, the top group of five conference champ, and two wild cards played on the home field of the higher seeds. There'd probably be a bunch of blowouts, but who cares? At least you're there at that point. Then at least Cincinnati's of the world can say, "Hey, look, at least we got our shot."
So nobody seems to like the college football playoff, other than the commissioners who govern it. What about this proposal from CBS Sports? Is it time to consider contracting the college football playoff back to just two? Forget the eight. Forget what Oresko is talking about. Let's go back to the way it used to be. And does anyone think this is a better plan? And I know that, yeah, two more schools, and we've seen plenty of cases where somebody comes from the second tier, but wasn't it a little more exciting? Wasn't it a little more dramatic back in the day? Isn't it always back in the day more dramatic? Anyway, let's get to some more conversation. Richard Johnson joined us yesterday, and once again, the conversation turned to the Dogs.
I think this is the year where it better be Georgia's year, because I think Alabama's going to take a step back. I don't think you lose as much as they lose, particularly on the offensive line. Look, the receivers are sexy, and the receivers are the guys who catch the touchdowns. But there's a reason Mac Jones has enough time to do his taxes in the pocket, and it's because he played behind darn near an NFL offensive line. And replacing those guys with a new offensive line coach, Doug Marrone, I know Saban reloads every single year, but this strikes me as a year where they take a slight step back. And as we know, Paul, a slight step back for Alabama is like two losses and a Sugar Bowl. So, yeah, there's going to be not Alabama in your way, which obviously we know has been pretty much the only thing that stopped this Georgia team from reaching its full potential besides last season.
Are we ever going to get away from this Georgia needs to win this year or bust? I think Danny Sheridan started it all a couple of months ago. Richard picked up on it. We've had other guests pick up on it. And I don't know about you, but I find the conversation to be ridiculous. Georgia has been a really good team every single year since Kirby Smart has gotten there. No, I mean, we're all aware they haven't won a national championship. Well, since 2014, who outside of Alabama and Clemson, LSU that one time, who else has won a national championship? And it's not like Georgia hasn't been in contention, but I'm really starting to wonder if some of these fans who think and want to blame Kirby Smart for not having won a national championship, I'm wondering if they really, if we shouldn't get them help. Instead of talking to them on the show, maybe we should get their number, call a hospital in their county, and maybe have them go in for a checkup, because it's insanity to suggest that Kirby Smart isn't doing a great job. Let's get to some more headlines. And how about this? This is from Sportico, and we're going to have the writer on in a minute. How NCAA coaches like Harbaugh and Saban pad their pay. I don't know about you, but it sounds nefarious, doesn't it? It really isn't, but we'll talk to the writer of the article here in just a minute. And Daniel Libet, one of the best reporters in the sports world, he was with us a couple of weeks ago talking about the Supreme Court case. He will join us at the bottom of the hour. Stephen M. Smith. I must be honest, I have no idea what the M stands for, but it's catchy, don't you think? And Field Yates. Shouldn't he be a poet instead of a NFL draft analyst with that name? Or maybe I'm thinking of Yeats. I don't know what I'm thinking about. But anyway, what we will begin doing is taking your phone call at 855-242-7285. Oh, one more thing. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. Hold the presses. South Carolina basketball coach Frank Martin has received a 2-year contract extension. Martin did not get a raise, and the new deal states that the school would not owe him any money if he's fired in his last 2 years. So I ask all of you, what does this really mean? Think about it. There was some talk about Frank getting fired this year, talk that I think was premature, but still. He gets a 2-year contract extension, no more money, and if he gets fired, they don't owe him for those 2 years. So what did Frank Martin get today other than the dreaded vote of confidence? I want somebody to answer me that. Would you mind? Anyway, phone numbers is 855-242-7285. Gene starts us off in Texas. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. First-time caller. How are you?
Oh, I am well. Great to hear from you.
My concern with adding more teams to these playoffs and having more playoff games is the risk of injury to the players, especially the ones who are thinking about going to the NFL. And I remember a few years back, Alabama had played Florida State in the first game of the season. And Florida State lost their starting quarterback. Alabama lost some players. Is this too much that's riding on these games when you're adding all these teams to the playoffs? So I just think the risk is not our way, the reward, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the call. That was a great call, and you're right about that. That was about 4 years ago, and quite frankly, Florida State hasn't been the same since. That was a dreadful injury there. Anyway, let's take a break here. Everybody get situated, get your phone calls lined up. More guests, as we mentioned, at the bottom of the hour, and we have a long way to go here on a Friday afternoon. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. And tonight, after we go off the air, Arkansas and Ole Miss. How about a major baseball game on the SEC network? That is huge. Number two versus number three. And by the way, after us last night, the number one team took on Georgia and went down badly. So Georgia has beaten a number one team in the country. When was the last time that happened? Football. We were talking baseball there. Anyway, let's get back to the calls and check in with Josh, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Josh.
Hey.
Hey there.
So what do you think about, like, South Carolina head coach from Frank Martini? So how can they didn't fire him? That's what I don't understand.
Well, Josh, I think my analysis would be that they've already fired a football coach, and they like Frank. He's been to a Final Four, and essentially they're giving him one more shot. By not adding any more money to the deal, it seems to me they're putting him on notice. You better win.
Yeah. And one other question. So what do you think about the South Carolina Gamecocks football team? You think they might look pretty good this year?
Josh, I wouldn't go that far. I really don't expect a great record this year. I think it's a transitional year. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Bruce is also in the Palmetto State. Hello, Bruce. How are you?
Hey, Paul. It's what a day to hear about Frank Martin getting shafted by the cultured Gamecocks. This is their MO. They don't appreciate what they have or can have, but yet they want to win everything, and they're losing in the background or in the foreground.
Bruce,
really look at it close.
Help the rest of the audience understand what you mean by shafting him.
All right, Frank is a different type of coach. And I can relate to it because I grew up playing football, basketball, whatever. I mean, I swam competition. And every one of those coaches were on our butts all the time on making it right. They drilled it in our heads from the beginning. And that's what he does with his kids. And if they don't do it right, they're going to pay a price. Now, we used to get kicked in the butt. I'm serious. Physically kicked in the butt if we didn't do or throw a block or had a penalty on us. And we didn't have any penalties. It was hard to find us doing something wrong. Today, the kids don't know what right is. They have no guidance. Frank is correcting these guys on the court in front of the whole crowd, and the crowd and the kids can't take that. They don't know how to take it. I hate it. I hate they're doing Frank this way.
Bruce, hold on a second. I think Frank runs a very good program. If you take the Final Four, even if you take the Final Four out of the equation, it's still a respectable program. It's not great by Kentucky standards or Duke standards, but it's a quality basketball program. What they did today was not fire him. They certainly didn't give him a vote of confidence, but he is still the coach, and there's something to be said for that.
Well, I think they put him on a leash, and then how is he going to perform in his own rhythm and on that leash? They're tugging him down.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking they're doing.
I'm not sure. I think they are giving him a chance next year. I'll give one more addendum to what I've already said. I think they're saying we're giving you a pass for this year. This was a tough year. You had COVID twice. Everything's out the window. Get to the tournament next year, and then we'll have a conversation. I think that's what they're saying.
That's just ridiculous.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to say this, Bruce, but in college basketball, when you get paid for $3 or $4 million a year, you're expected to go to the NCAA tournament. You're not expected to make your team better, but just because he corrects the players on the court, he's still there. He's been there a long time. Thank you for the call. Let's check to a lot of reaction to Frank. Skip is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Skip.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
This is a opening day caller and a full-time listener.
Wonderful.
So I listen to you as much as I can. Frank Martin, South Carolina has done him bad. He was their winningest coach. He had more All-Americans than anybody except Frank McGuire. He had the deepest penetration into the Final Four that the school's ever had. And they just done him bad.
Well, no, Skip, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Bruce. He is still working. What did they do wrong?
They opened the door because there's no buyout. The holdup on nailing him now was, I think, a $12.2 million buyout.
Well,
and they've eliminated the buyout clause. So that means.
But Skip, something tells me in the negotiation with his people, they said, "Listen, you know, we can fire you now and pay you off, or you can keep working and lose the buyout." That is not unusual in today's world.
Yeah, but the stingy so and so's that the Gamecocks are, and I know because I went there for 6 years, they want to stay that money. Muschamp, Skip.
Let's be honest. I mean, Muschamp's extension is the root of all this.
Yes,
that was a foolish thing to do when they extended Muschamp.
Very much so, and they're going to pay for it now.
Well, but I ask you the same question here. If they had extended his contract and extended the buyout, then would that have? And then next year he goes 13 and 18, then what are people going to be saying? I mean, I understand both sides. I'm torn. All I can do is think about what would I do had I been sitting where Ray Tanner sits. I would have let Frank come back for another year. But if you've already been burned by Will Muschamp, are you going to put a lot of money on the line here? And I think the answer is no. And, you know, I think a lot of people have been in this situation, and I'm sure Frank Martin is saying to himself, I can get this job. I can get this program turned around. I think what you've done is put pressure on the coach to win. And I don't know why that is such a big deal, but I'm more than willing to listen to all of your opinions, and there are some really interesting ones out there. Let's talk to Jane, who is up next. Hello, Jane. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. I'm an 85-year-old Georgia fan who went to her first ball game in 1938 and have followed the Bulldogs ever since. And I am pretty sick and tired of these fair-weather fans that are down on Kirby.
I don't blame you. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know what they expect.
I have followed the Bulldogs through 7 coaches. I still have 4 tickets on the 50-yard line. And what do they want?
You know what Georgia fans want? They want what somebody else has. And ultimately, they will get there with Kirby Smart.
I think they will, too. And as I said, I followed the Bulldogs through 7 coaches, and I'll take Kirby over all of them. And they are my dogs if they don't ever win a race.
People act like Vince Dooley won it. I mean, Vince Dooley had been there 16 years before he won a national championship.
He won one national championship. Yeah. Wally Butts shared a national championship and should have won the national championship in 1945 because this team was undefeated. And they gave it to, I think it was to Army instead.
Well, I'm with you. Well, Jane, thank you very much. Apparently, I hung up on Skip before he was finished. I would never want to do that. Skip, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just got back on the line.
Well, go ahead.
I don't know what direction they're going to turn in, but watch and see if they don't nail him the first part of this upcoming year. He won't see the end of the contract.
Well, Skip, I'm clueless here because I don't know the politics of South Carolina basketball, but what do you know that the rest of us don't?
Just the way the whole program has been set up. They had it called the private meeting for today, and they met several times.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for the call. If anyone out there knows what really transpired in Columbia lately, please let us know, because Skip seemed to think he I would be overjoyed if I was, if I'm sitting there as a Frank fan and he's going to be allowed to coach as opposed to being fired today. But apparently that's not what we're hearing. We'll take a break. We have a guest coming up here in a moment, and we look forward to expanding our conversation. Daniel Libet joins us again. We've had a couple of conversations with him, and we are right back at you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back here on a Friday afternoon, and Daniel Libet will join us again from Sportico. He was here about a month ago giving us a preview of the big case in front of the Supreme Court, but today it's a different story. He has done a major deep dive by searching through public records and real reporting, something you don't often see, to look into the underbelly of what football coaches make. Some of our closest friends like Kirby Smart and Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban. Daniel, thank you for joining us again. Really a fascinating piece in Sportico. Good afternoon, and I think we'd all like to know how you went about tackling this rather juicy subject. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks so much for having me. I do a lot of this. I do a lot of public records request work related to college sports, and so somehow I can't quite remember, but it caught my attention that college about a year ago, that college athletic department employees are required by the NCAA to disclose to their schools on an annual basis what's referred to as outside athletically related income. So this is income that goes beyond what their contracts are for, including that goes beyond what the third party components of their contracts are for. So things like apparel deals or radio deals that are negotiated through the schools that they work for. This is beyond that. This is on the side of their income. And so I made records requests of just dozens and dozens of different D1 schools over the last couple of years, just to see kind of what the picture of the side hustles look like in college sports. And you know, some of this will be of no surprise. Coaches who earn a lot of money through their schools find ways to earn lots of additional money on the side of that. But really, this is just something that permeates college sports up and down the food chain. It's not just the major college football coaches and men's basketball coaches who do side jobs. This is really just what the industry is built on, from, you know, assistant coaches in Olympic sports all the way up to your Sabins and so forth. Everybody's finding ways to earn a few extra dollars, or in the case of Jim Harbaugh, as we reported, a few extra $250,000 on the side of whatever they're being paid by their schools.
Yeah, and I want to start with Harbaugh, not because I think he should have been fired last year and is completely and totally overrated, but the fact that I always thought he really liked khaki pants. When I read your piece, I found out that he likes them for a specific reason. You mentioned it, $250,000.
Yeah, well, it might have dovetailed. His interest might have dovetailed. Yeah, he did an ad 2 years ago for Downy for their wrinkle-free fabric softener, where he was pretending to care about keeping his khaki pants, or I'm assuming he was pretending, perhaps he does care, about keeping his khaki pants wrinkle-free throughout the year. And he disclosed to his school that ad paid him $250,000 in the subsequent filing that he filed with Michigan. That was about the biggest chunk of change for a single ad I found. But again, it's important to note this is relatively de minimis for somebody like Jim Harbaugh, who was already making millions. But what was interesting about his contract is the University of Michigan had paid him $4 million that year or thereabouts to effectively buy out his publicity rights. Schools want to make sure that the coaches that they're hiring, particularly top dollar coaches, are more or less doing all of their work for the universities in one way, shape, or form. But there's always a carve out in most of these contracts that allows the coach to at least, request of his athletic director or her athletic director an opportunity to do an ad in addition to that. So he obviously got permission to do the Downy ad and pocketed a nice tidy sum on the side.
All these guys make a lot of money, Daniel, and I don't blame anyone for trying to make more, even when you're in the $5 to $9 million range. But let's talk about people like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. Where does the additional money come from?
Well, for Nick Saban, it seemed like he was making a lot in corporate speaking. He disclosed over a course of 2 years making an extra $350,000. Of course, his contract pays him now in excess of $9 million a season. Kirby Smart did an ad for Ford where he didn't even say anything. It was just the ad was basically frames of him driving an F-150. And this was, I think, in 2018 was when the ad ran. And he disclosed that the ad paid him $130,000. This is capitalism at work, but of course, this is all in the larger context of the ongoing debate in college sports about whether or not athletes should have those same opportunities. And what was interesting about the fact that I was able to find that this information is even available, is that it's required by the NCAA. The NCAA mandates that these coaches and college administrators make these disclosures. The irony was in 2016, the NCAA figured that this was sort of unnecessary to force college athletic department employees to file these disclosures and basically jettison the process. They thought it was duplicative. The schools were already getting whatever information they needed from their employees, and this was unnecessary. And then in 2017, of course, came the college basketball corruption scandal and the FBI arrests of 10 individuals, and including some assistant men's basketball coaches. And in response to that, the NCAA decided that this was actually going to be an important instrument in safeguarding the integrity of the amateurism system by making coaches, in this case, disclose any outside income. I don't exactly know what coach would have disclosed under the table income that they received, but that was at least the idea. And so they kicked this back into gear, and over the last couple of years, coaches have had to now make these disclosures, you know, but in so doing, you know, they've given at least some kind of ammunition to advocates to say, who are contending that players should be should be entitled to do the exact same thing, do endorsements. Obviously, this is a core to the whole NIL debate, and the expectation is that in none too long a time, players will be able to do endorsements. But what I also kind of noticed in my reporting was there's all other kinds of ways that coaches make money on the side that are not necessarily related to their publicity rights, to their names, images, and likenesses, whether or not it's having their own camps, or whether or not it's doing appearance fees. There's some lack of clarity on what exactly athletes would be able to do in terms of in terms of being paid for their appearances or their autographs, although I think the expectation is that would be part of NIL. But, you know, there's just a lot of extracurricular earning that's done in college sports. The other thing to point out is, you know, one of the contentions of those who worry about players being able to start making money is that this is going to be a distraction from their roles as students. But, you know, this is what college sports is today. Everybody is doing something on the side, either to make ends meet or to make additional income. And so, you know, the expectation that players would be the only ones who really need to bunker down and focus on the institutions that they're at when their coaches are out there making endorsements or doing camps or doing speaking fees. There's all different kinds of ways that coaches and administrators are making money. Seems to be a little bit of a hypocrisy.
Name of the article is Side Hustle, How NCAA Coaches Like Harbaugh Saban Pad Their Income. Daniel Libet is the guest. Let's close with my favorite person in your article, and that's Dabo Swinney, who I always thought, shame on me for thinking that he went to a lot of churches because he genuinely cared about spreading the gospel. You found otherwise.
Yeah, I'm at the mercy of how he just termed this in his disclosure form, but he said that he reported this in the 18-19 disclosures, that in the previous year he had made somewhere between $75,000 and $150,000 appearing at, and I'm quoting him, various locations in the Southeast and in churches, so which would suggest that some of the appearances he had made at churches, he did get paid for. I don't know if he did get paid, where that money ended up, if he donated it or something else. The other thing that he disclosed was that he had gotten paid as part of his participation in the Chick-fil-A Bowl Challenge, which is a charity golf event affiliated with that bowl game. But that apparently pays appearance fees to the coaches that participate in it.
And also, he got discounted lodging because of a Clemson grad. And my favorite, he got a home alarm system. Who wouldn't want a free home alarm system?
He got a free home alarm system. My favorite, if I may say, is that his head strength coach disclosed getting peaches and watermelons from a farm in South Carolina.
You know, you did a great job of reporting, but I think the axiom that everyone wants something for free really is what this is about. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how rich you are, whether you make $10 million a year. If somebody is willing to offer you something without you paying for it, you'll take it.
That seems to be the object lesson. Gluttony is alive and well, indeed.
Well, Daniel, if you see any takers, any freebies out there for lowly sports talk show hosts, please let me know. I'm on the prowl for a free anything right now.
Just make sure to keep your khaki pants nice and wrinkle-free, and you'll be good to go.
Hey, Daniel, another fantastic job of reporting, but then again, you're one of the top sports reporters in the land, so that should not be a surprise. Come back soon. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Paul. Happy to do so.
You got it. What a fantastic conversation that was. We will take a break, and you can tell us what you've gotten free today. I've gotten nothing so far other than a lot of phone calls, which I've enjoyed. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.